This is Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There are new fears that a housing bust could be looming in the world's second largest economy, China, something that could have devastating economic consequences all around the world. The Wall Street Journal reports today on Chinese ghost cities with 20-story high-rises that only have a few occupants, where developers are offering 40% discounts to entice buyers. Jason Bellini of The Wall Street Journal joins us now to talk about this. Jason, welcome.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And you spent years reporting in Asia. This fear of a housing collapse in China is not new, but tell us some of what's being reported today in the journal about this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I spent time in Singapore, and some of these big global capitals like Singapore, like Shanghai, Beijing, the problem is not so great there. What we're really talking about are third and fourth tier Chinese cities, the ones that are rarely visited by foreigners, where overbuilding is out of control and major property market slowdown is now underway. That's what we're reporting.
Well, and I remember flying earlier this year from Shanghai to Hong Kong, which is a flight that is more than a couple of hours long. And whereas when you fly from, say, New York to Miami, you pass over a lot of coastline where there's no development. In China, as you're flying along the coast, it's developed all the way. Every time I look down outside of the plane, there's a city, probably mostly cities that none of us have ever heard of.
And you may not see as much of that if you're flying at night, because many of these rows and rows of apartments are dark at night. That's what's so remarkable here and so troubling, that overbuilding by real estate developers have left smaller cities with just this wide glut of apartments.
Well, put some numbers on it, because I see in the reporting today that an increasing amount of the country's debt is now real estate debt.
That's right. Well, I mean, here's one statistic that we're reporting. The overall value of Chinese housing sold in the first 2 months of 2014, declined 5% from a year earlier. So you bought your house beginning of the year, it's down already 5%. And that's an overall value. That doesn't take into account the fact that, again, you have Shanghai and Beijing where property values are staying relatively stable. These smaller cities, that's where people are getting hit so hard.
Well, do Chinese leaders have any plans to deal with this? As we know, they do not want an economic slowdown and have gone to great lengths to push economic stimulus in China so that there is not one, so that people remain happier than they were a year ago or 5 years ago, and they see an upward trajectory in their own lives.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The construction, sale, and outfitting of apartments accounted for 23%, about a quarter of China's gross domestic product last year. So a huge amount. And so one of the big risks here is that consumers who are accustomed to seeing steady gains in their home's value pull back on spending. How to deal with that? That's a really troubling situation, because that's the solution to their economic problems, as they saw it back in 2009, was to encourage people to buy, encourage the bank, get the banks to loan more money to Chinese people. And that was what would prop up the economy. But if you don't have that as an option, if that becomes the problem, then that really speaks to some broader macroeconomic concerns in China.
Jason, do we have a sense of what kind of an impact a crash in the housing sector in China would have here in the U.S.?
As far as the impact on the U.S., hard to say. And probably other countries like Australia would be hurt more, because they provide more goods. But, I mean, it's the second largest economy, as you pointed out. So there are bound to be ramifications. Fortunately, because the Chinese don't take out quite as much money, they put more money down, and they don't have some of those really arcane financial instruments that brought us down to our knees back in 2008. You know, there may not be the same kind of banking crisis that we faced a few years back.
Jason Bellini of The Wall Street Journal. Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Here and Now.